Good morning and welcome to Overeats Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday. Could everybody mute their lines? Thank you. Today is Wednesday, February 26, 2025, and we are continuing to read in the Big Book. We're going to be on page 81 today, the first full paragraph, which starts with whatever the situation, through to this is the best course to take. Today's readers are Leslie M., who will read the text, Shelley E., a Vision for You, and Vanessa G. is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Alex K., and Jody E. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Tuesday, February 25th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 22,195. 22,195, and for Wednesday, February 26th, 7 a.m. Eastern, the reference number is 22,197. I'll just repeat that one more time, 22,197. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition, sorry, someone's unmuted, star one, please. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeats Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Dina J. to please unmute and read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Dina.
Good morning. I am Dina J., grateful recovered compulsive eater in California. Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God and to ourselves and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Four, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you. And I'll now ask Justine F. to please join us and read the 12 traditions of OA. Thank you, Justine.
Thank you. This is Justine F. in Oregon, recovering compulsive overeater and bulimic, and here are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
And thank you to both Dina and Justine for your service in February. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. All right, so here's what we're doing today. We're resuming our study of the Big Book in the chapter Interaction. We're on page 81. Full paragraph halfway down the page that starts with whatever the situation and ends with the best course to take. And I would now like to ask the lovely Leslie M. to start reading and sharing with us. Thank you, Leslie.
Well, thank you, Susan, for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Whatever the situation, we usually have to do something about it. If we are sure our wife does not know, should we tell her? Not always, we think. If she knows in a general way that we have been wild, should we tell her in detail? Undoubtedly, we should admit our fault. She may insist on knowing all the particulars. She'll want to know who the woman is and where she is. We feel we ought to say to her that we have no right to involve another person. We are sorry for what we have done, and God willing, it shall not be repeated. More than that, we cannot do. We have no right to go further. Though there may be justifiable exceptions, and though we wish to lay down no rule of any sort, we have often found this the best course to take. And, you know, there's so much in this paragraph. You know, the funny, not the funny thing, but the interesting thing for me is that I have never been in this situation as far as me cheating on someone else. I watched that in growing up. My mother did it, and so I vowed that I would never do it, and I haven't. But I have been on the receiving end of this kind of thing, and that's the interesting thing is, you know, when it says she'll want to know who the woman is and where she is, reminded me of, you know, before program. That's who I was out to get. I was out to get that third person, no matter who they were or what was going on. You know, it always had to be, it was always about them. I didn't realize that it was actually about the person that I was in the relationship with. But, you know, my thinking was so skewed that, you know, I blamed that third person. Well, that third person might not have even known that the person that I was involved with was in a relationship. Perhaps that had never been disclosed, you know. But I was always looking to blame someone outside of myself and someone else. Because, you know, the person I was in a relationship with, well, they love me. So, you know, they couldn't possibly have been their fault. You know, just as in everything else, other things were not my fault. But the other thing that I have found, and, you know, and that's one of the big pieces of step 9 is that we don't want to harm anyone else. You know, so that I have, and as it's stated in other chapters and other paragraphs, I have had to go back to other people and say, you know, I need to make this amends, but it's going to, you know, it may affect you. So this is what I need to say. You know, how do you feel about this? What do you think? You know, and that's really what I see here. It says, but it's the other thing is we are sorry for what we have done, and God willing, it shall not be repeated. And I know that for me, I had to say that and know that, you know, I'm doing the best that I can every day, you know, and that my desire is to do God's will, but I'm a human being and I'm not perfect. So that the day will come when I will be human and I will make a mistake, whatever that mistake is. I just know today I know how to, you know, that I need to make amends for it, you know, that I need to own it and you know, keep going. And that is what takes me closer to my higher power, is getting these blocks. And these are the blocks that would cause me to eat. And now I don't have that, you know, but I have the steps and the tools to get me through. And, you know, and once again, they don't lay down, you know, they don't lay out, it says we don't wish to lay down and no rule of any sort. You know, they're not telling us specifically what to do. That also tells me that I need to take this to trusted people in my life. But the final judge is my higher power. Yes. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much, Susan.
Thank you. And thank you. That was Leslie M. in Long Island, New York. All right, so let me just tell you one more time where we are, because you may have logged on midway. We are on page 81. The paragraph starts with whatever the situation and ends with the best course to take. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So that counts if you shared on Vision East Coast time yesterday morning or earlier today. So that way we can hear lots of voices. All right, so if you would like to share this morning, press star one to unmute and please share with me your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from this morning. Thank you.
Larry G.
Thank you, Larry. I know where you're from. Who would like to join Larry? All right, Larry, why don't you kick us off and we'll go from there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. My name's Larry G. I'm from California. Got a little bit nervous here. I'm the only one in the lineup. oh, wow. We're into some heavy stuff here. And I've been around 12-step programs quite a while, and I think our community is really wounded in this area, and there is a lot of love and sex addiction. I just chuckle the word Bill used, wild, a nice little euphemism for love and sex addiction. And there's a spectrum, you know, we're all the way from intimacy, people avoid intimacy, to sexual anorexics, all the way to full-blown sex addicts. I don't think there's any betrayal that, like the betrayal of having an affair. And it's like taking a grenade and just throwing it in the middle of a relationship and just blowing that relationship up. And some relationships, you know, make it, some others don't. What I want to speak to is the absolute sensitivity and the caution of we start to feel good about ourselves. We do steps 1, 2, 3. We put the food down. We go to the fourth and fifth, and we're relieved that's over. 6 and 7 for a lot of people is just a short breath before the deep plunge, which is the 8, 9, and we get to this 9 here. And I just really feel that I have been so fortunate with sponsors, not just in this area, but in other areas, to really caution me and how to make it amends so I don't create further harm. There was my best friend, we played bonded through sports and alcoholism, and played in college together. And I inappropriately dated a woman in his office, and it turned out that she blackmailed him. And I think he thought that I was part of that, and I wasn't. And so our relationship, we hadn't talked for 4 or 5 years, and you know, my sponsor helped me to work that out, and I flew down to L.A., drove to Santa Barbara. Two guys, you know, two big guys were sitting at a restaurant, a small table, and I'm making this amends to him, a script that my sponsor gave me. And both of us just crying. We're just sitting there crying because we love each other so much. And there was so much heartache, you know, and he did things to me as well. But it doesn't matter. I didn't go there I went there to stay sober. I have to do that. You know, I have to make these amends. And with that, I pass it back to you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Larry G. in California. All right. I'm now ready to take some more names. So again, if this is your third day to share, we'd love to hear your experience with this paragraph. Star one to unmute.
Margaret D., Georgia.
Thank you, Margaret.
Allison L., New Jersey.
Thank you, Allison.
Vanessa G., New Mexico.
Thank you, Vanessa. Anyone else for this round? All right, I have Margaret D. from Georgia, Allison L. from New Jersey, and Vanessa G. from New Mexico. So everybody, if you could please mute your lines. And Margaret, please join us and share. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good morning, everybody. Margaret D. in Georgia. This paragraph is always, I swear, there is such a resentment there about the language in it. So I certainly know that I'm not done and I've got a lot more work to do. But the thing that comes to mind is the use of the word wild. You know, if one of the spouses has been wild, well, we're pretty good at defining terms. What exactly does wild mean? And is that word actually appropriate? I think for myself, although I never could be termed quote-unquote wild, what I could be termed, or not what I could be termed it, but my behavior could be termed as was really irresponsible, totally irresponsible, in that I had very few mechanisms for dealing with relationships. And I was married for 18 years, excuse me, and I never knew that you could actually hear somebody and say, you know, you said that you would pick up our daughter at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and here it is tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, and could you like explain your behavior? We need to deal with this or whatever it is. So I did not know how to do that. And in learning how to do that, I had to go so far back, right up to the point of why did I choose this particular person or this particular set of qualities, a set of qualities that I wanted to, that I felt like I could live the rest of my life with. And so I went back and even further back than that. And after, I bet you it was 25 years, came to the realization that God did not put my marriage together. I put the marriage together. I picked somebody who I thought could protect me, that, you know, I could treat like a dog. I could, when I whistled and said, come, they would do whatever it was that I wanted to do. And in return for that, all I had to do was have sex with them. What a deal. So that was my wildness, was complete kicking God out, but pushing shoving.
Hi, Margaret.
And I'll wrap it up with this about pushing God out of my life when it came to sex, marriage, relationships, love, and all that, and doing it my way. And I got to tell you, it didn't work. So with that, I pass. And moderator, thank you for your service. Doing a great job.
Thank you, Margaret D. in Georgia. Next, we're going to go to New Jersey. Good morning, Allison L.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you. Allison L. from New Jersey. This is such a powerful chapter. And this paragraph is very meaningful to me because I didn't need to cheat on my husband to chase him away. I didn't need to cheat with another human. I cheated with the food. My affair was always with myself and my drug. And it worked just as potently as an affair might have done. It was genuinely the thing that stole me away. And this chapter is where I come to terms with who I am when I'm in the food and living in open addiction. And if I don't get all the way down to the truth, which is what this chapter and these steps 4, 5, 6, 7 help me do, if I don't get all the way down to the very essence of who I am in open addiction, I don't have much chance of staying away from those attitudes and behaviors in my abstinence. So in order for me to be entirely abstinent, I must be entirely honest with who I was and am when I'm eating. And I have a huge wreckage of the past that I need to live with, own. Some of it I can sew back together. Some of the seams are, you know, available to me still to close again and repair relationships, and some are not. And that is what I have to live with and what I have to surrender every day. But I love this part of this chapter. It's uncomfortable and it's difficult. But I don't have to look very far to know that it's me, that every word in this chapter and these 164 pages speaks about is me. My experience as a human with an addiction. What does it look like and what do I want to stay away from? So in order for me to live in this new way of life, right, happy, joyous, and free, I need to be patient, tolerant, kind, and loving with myself and with others. And in order to avoid the harm to others that I so wantonly showed them in my years of eating, in order to avoid harming others, I need to know the exact behavior required. What does harm look like? Harm looks like falling asleep on the couch, you know, in a box of donuts. That's what harm looks like in my family for me. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you for your services.
Thank you, Allison. All right, Vanessa G. in New Mexico, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, Susan, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for letting me share this morning. My name is Vanessa G., and I'm recovered in New Mexico. And prior to coming to recovery, I was quote-unquote wild. Totally selfish, totally not thinking about anybody else who was involved. And although I was single, I certainly got myself entangled, with people that were married and committed supposedly to someone else. And when I got to my ninth step, it was made very clear to me that I was to leave those people alone. And that it wasn't my place to do anything in terms of actually speaking to them. And I certainly didn't want to continue my behavior. By that time, I had started to start to adhere to a code of, you know, ethics, I guess, or ideals about, you know, who I should be. But I was only a couple of weeks into my ninth step when a man at work asked me to meet him for the weekend at a work convention. And I said yes. And I talked to my sponsor about it, and she said, you know, you've got to do the right thing. And I said, I know I have to do the right thing. And I kept praying about it and praying about it and praying about it. And yet I wouldn't, back down from it. And then finally, the plane came. I got on the plane and flew. I had one stop in California before I got into Las Vegas. And I kind of threw up my hands before I got on the plane because I didn't change my flight to Las Vegas. And I said, okay, God, it's in your hands. And the gentleman didn't show up, or the ungentleman didn't show up. Now, I don't think that that would work every time, but it certainly helped me become, the person that I really wanted to be. I didn't want to be, this quote-unquote wild person. I didn't want to take advantage, of people who weren't, with their spouses. And God helped me with that. I did the absolutely good in that situation. And it helped me get through that period of time in my life when I was still a little bit weak. Since that time, God has helped me stay in recovery and be a person of integrity, at least in that area. And I really, really am grateful for that. I'm grateful for the program. I'm grateful for the way it's helped me grow. Thank you for letting me share.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Vanessa G. in New Mexico. All right, just a reminder where we are. Page 81, whatever the situation, through to the best to take. So just a reminder, although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you would like to share this morning, please press star one to unmute and share your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from today. Who would like to share?
Talia from Brooklyn, New York.
Talia from Brooklyn, thank you.
I'm sorry?
You said your name was Talia, right?
Talia, yeah.
Yes, Brooklyn, I've got you down. Yes, no problem. Just hold on while I take a few more names. Thank you.
Okay, sure.
No problem, thanks. All right, who else would like to join this round? All right, so as we don't waste time, Talia, would you like to share with us, and if you can give us your last initial, and then I'll come back and take some more names. Go ahead, Talia.
Okay, I'm Talia M., and I'm in Brooklyn, New York, but right now I'm in Long Island Mental Hospital. I have bipolar depression, and I'm worried about my abstinence because the food is not in my control at all. They bring me whatever food they give me, and that's it. I crave the group to talk, to listen. Right now, I'm very depressed, and I'm waiting for ECT treatments to maybe correct this depression of mine. If anybody has any experience with it, it would be great if you could share.
Oh, is that the end? Thank you,
yeah.
Talia. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right. Pleasure. We have more time here, so we'd love to hear from more of you on your experience with this paragraph on page 81.
Hi, Sarah G. from Toronto.
Thank you, Sarah.
Jody E.
Thank you, Jody. Anyone else? All right, so I have Sarah G. from Toronto and Jody E. from California. So if everyone else could mute their lines. And Sarah, come on in. Thank you.
Hi, Sarah G. from Toronto. Thank you, everyone, for your beautiful shares this morning. I don't have something specifically to share about this paragraph, but just in general, the feeling I've been getting from listening to these calls is the need for brutal honesty. It's very easy to look at other people and, notice all the things that are true about them, but then when we come to ourselves, if you know, we kind of choose the parts that we want to believe about ourselves and that aren't really true, or like they are true, but they're not the full truth. And I think this paragraph reinforces that need to really, you know, look at our entire self, not just our negative parts and not just our positive, but everything together, so that we could continue on this journey of abstinence. And yeah, I agree with the person that, you know, even if someone didn't have like a physical affair, we could totally use to take the place of it. And only with this brutal honesty could we have long-term abstinence. And I thank you. That's the end of my share. And I also wanted to request that if Talia would like outreach calls, if she would like to give her number, I would definitely reach out to her, even though I can't help.
We don't announce numbers here. Perhaps
okay.
She's on the member list, or maybe
somebody
can text you who has it.
Okay.
No problem. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. That's Sarah G in Toronto. And next, we're coming back to California. Good morning, Jody E. Thank you, Jody.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. And I love this paragraph because it says, if we are sure our wife does not know, should we tell her? Not always, we think. You know, there's this part of me that would like to just make my list of people I've harmed and check it off one by one. Step 9, and go to everybody and tell everything. But that is not always appropriate. That would perhaps relieve me of my burden of guilt or shame. But if I'm going to harm somebody else in so doing, then it is not going to help me to do that, to be brutally honest in that way. I have to be very careful here. If I have been unfaithful, if whether it's with food or with sex, I have to talk to my sponsor about it. I do not necessarily disclose it to my spouse because that might be very harmful to them to know that. Now, sometimes disclosure is necessary. Perhaps STDs are an issue, and we have to disclose it for that reason. But if not, we don't want to disclose anything that would harm another person just to feel like we have gotten it off of our chest. We can disclose it to a therapist, to our sponsor, but not necessarily to all people involved. So again, I just want to, and I wish I could sometimes. I wish I could disclose it all to people, but that wouldn't be appropriate. And that can be hard to sit with. I want to disclose it, but I can't. So I disclose it to the people that are appropriate and that will not be affected. So this is something I've taken me a long time to learn. And I just want to share it so that other people don't make that mistake of harming people that they love and that they want to have a relationship with. They want to keep that relationship. Well, do not disclose everything if you don't have to, because it could be very harmful to them and with that and to the relationship. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. in California. All right, we have more time. So if this is your third day, we would love to hear from you. Please star 1 unmute and give me. Go ahead. Who's that?
Elaine B. in Massachusetts.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you. Who would like to join Elaine?
Hillary B. in California.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Hillary. We certainly have time. All right, we're doing small groups this morning. So I have Elaine B. from Massachusetts and Hillary B. from California. Thank you, Elaine. Please share with us.
Thank you so much for your faithful service, Susan. Okay, So what I see here is a model for an amends. And when we find that, when we're in a situation where it will cause more harm than good to tell somebody, we still need to make amends. And so I have noted in my big book here that this is a model of a living amends. This is how I'm going to live differently. And we can still, you know, we have no right to involve the other person. We need to admit our fault. We need to admit what we're doing wrong and the impact that it has on other people. So the first step, admit our fault. The second is that we regret what we've done. And God willing, it will not be repeated. And here, bringing God into this picture is, again, an affirmation that we're powerless, but with God's help, this is where we can gain new ground. This is where we can make a difference. More than that, we cannot do. We have no right to go further, which means to tell all the intimate, gory details of the situation, who it was, where it was, when it happened, and building that narrative in somebody's mind. And again, justifiable exceptions. But this is, and they don't want to make any rule in any sort, but this is the power of community. This is the power where we get to go to our sponsor. We get to go to different situations where perhaps people have experienced strength and hope. And this is why it's important that we have an opportunity to share on our perspectives, on our experiences. By the time I got married, I did not have to do any of these type of amends. But boy, oh boy, did I have a history of people that I was carrying in my past that I needed to let go of. And there was one that the good orderly direction from God was, don't go back and make amends to that person. That would cause harm to their entire family. Mm-hmm. But I had to go ahead, carry the message, live the life of recovery, continue to live with integrity. And, you know, even the slightest thought about somebody else other than the man that I'm married to, that's inappropriate. And I'm able to catch it just as I'm able to catch, that's not my food. When I'm at a party or I'm at a restaurant and something gets put on the table, it's not my food. Those are not my relationships. That's not where I'm going with this. And I'm so glad we get to grow in this together and that we can reach out for support as we need to. And I pass with that.
Thank you so much, Elaine B. in Massachusetts. Next, we have Hillary B. in California. Thank you, Hillary.
Thank you, Susan. Hi, everyone. I'm Hillary B. in California, a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater for today. I was incredibly wild. I was incredibly wild before I got married, thank goodness. I slept with plenty of married men. Never made amends for any of that. Just because the situation was just not tenable in that way. And luckily I was 30 when I got into OA the first time, and or the first 12 step I was ever in. And I got to learn a different way of being. And so by the time I got married, I was done with that wildness. That particular wildness, sexual wildness, it was ugly. I got to do I did a lot of inventory on it and all that. But I still have remained wild as far as wanting my way, wanting my partner, whoever it is, I'm on number three now, to do my bidding, to be the person I want him to be so I can feel good about myself. I believe I know what's best for him. I am being his higher power. It doesn't get much wilder than that. It causes a lot of anger, a lot of yelling and screaming, a lot of misery in a relationship. And it's taken me a long, 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 long time to see the destructiveness of my behavior, my thinking. If I don't turn my thinking, my actions, my everything over to my higher power every single morning with strong intention and commitment. And it's hard. I can still be that wild person. I look forward that to maybe there might be a day that it gets easier or better, and we're coming out of a really difficult, struggling time for, like, I'd say for 6 weeks, and we've turned a corner, we get help, and I love being a loving human being. It feels so good. It makes the relationship so what God intended it to be, and that I can only have that kind of relationship with a higher power because I'm already damaged. I've been damaged since I was a teenager. And so, anyway, I think that's my time. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So we probably have time for 2.5 more shares. And again, paragraph on page 81, whatever the situation, through to the best course to take.
Dion R.
So if you've been Dion R. Okay. Thank you, Dion.
Nancy LJ, California.
Nancy, thank you. And I'll take one more, but I'm not sure if we'll get to you, but let's give it a go. Going once, going twice, anyone?
Hi, it's Talia again. Can I leave my phone number in case somebody relates to what I said?
No, I'm sorry. You'll have to text it to somebody here. We don't leave phone numbers at this point. So if you can text it to somebody you know, sorry. Okay, so next.
They don't allow phones. Cell phones.
Are you on the phone list?
I'm on a pay phone. That's the only phone that there is on this unit.
Okay, give the number really quickly, please, because we need to get to people sharing.
917-780-3022. My name is Talia.
Okay, great. Yep.
And
thank you, Talia.
I'm in room 12. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Deanne, please go ahead and share with us.
Yes, hi, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Susan, for your and everyone is calling in and sharing the experience, strength, and hope. My name is Dion R., very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Georgia, and very grateful. Listening today, I always get some gems, no matter what, how long. If I'm in the meeting, I'll hear something I need to hear. And describing all the, listening to different things and way people have handled it and come out successfully and stayed abstinent, it's just, you know, even after many years, I still learn new things. Like, that's not my food. That, to look at it like that, you know, any behavior that was sex-related, that's not my food. I can glance. I don't have to stare. That's something my mom would, it don't stare. You know what I mean? So today, even with certain foods, I don't stare no more. Going down certain aisles, I just look at them like, ooh. You know, or now, even on the internet, ordering my food. Some things I just won't stare at. So that, I love that when someone says, that's just not my, you know, I'm allergic to that. I cannot dwell on anything that's standing in the way of my usefulness to God or my creator. Now, do I just brush it under the rug and say no? No, but if I don't, if I already cleaned and did my house cleaning, then what I get to do, thank you all, if somebody's unmuted, but what I get to do is to be able to make that amend, do work the 12 steps, and so when step 10 come up or something like that, I think, I guess somebody really want to talk. But I can always say that, no, that is not for me, right? That is not my food. I don't need to stare. Someone else can enjoy it. That is not my food. So just hearing that was dynamite to me, and I needed to be reminded we're still human. But because I'm making amends for past behaviors, what I did in all the first 9 steps, I can look at it today as, nope, that's not mine, and I don't want to have to go and make amends and all that other stuff again. That's not my food. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you all for being the best part of my recovery. Love you. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Dion. Next, we'll go to Nancy LJ in California. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning, everybody. Nancy LJ recovered gratefully today in California. I just wanted to claim my seat. And, you know, this paragraph just drills down for me that this book is perfect and I believe divine. The author knows my self-seeking and my selfishness. I want complete catharsis. You know, I want to just vomit all over you what I did, you know, how bad I am and how sorry I am. And, you know, that is not always, that's not okay. You know, it's not, these amends are cleaning off my side of the street. And I'm so grateful that I had a beautiful, loving sponsor that helped me discern, a discerning sponsor that helped me with what I could say, what's okay to reveal, you know. And because I just, on my own, it's not safe. So, I'm just super, super grateful for this book. And it's so amazing. When I first came in these rooms and these calls, I just thought the big book is so bad. What is it? Oh, man. Wow. It's just this design for living. I'm so grateful. And these steps. And I think that's all I got. Thank you so much for letting me share. Nancy LJ in California.
Thank you, Nancy. All right. We have 2.5 to 3 minutes left. Who would like to take it?
Hi, I'm Kristen Y from California.
Go ahead, Kristen. Please share with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, I'm a compulsive overeater and in abstinence, which is so exciting and different for me. And yeah, I want to say that when I first made my first amends in another program, I was able to say, you know, I was acting out of fear when I behaved like that. And that I was a sick person and working on getting well. And now I feel like it's going deeper with the food is my last hurrah, my last crutch. And so I get to go deeper and I really see how I have less fear without those alcoholic foods. So I can connect with a higher power and do my higher powers will, and also that I can give it to myself instead of, you know, like give it to my inner world, the time and the attention that I need, where I was trying to get it outside of myself, whether it was relationships, food. So it's really so exciting. And I learned so much on this meeting. I mean, I learned more on this meeting about relational things than I've learned anywhere. And it's kind of my favorite topic. So I'm just incredibly grateful and so happy to be here and be on this journey with all of you. Thank you so much.
Perfect timing, Kristen. Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody. And I just want to thank the remainder of Team February, who's been here with us throughout the month, Leslie M., Shelley E., Vanessa G., Alex K., and Jody E. Already thanked Dean and Justine, but we'll mention them again. And thank you all for allowing me to be of service. All right. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Shelley, will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you.
You bet. And thank you for your service, Susan. I appreciate it. Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. clear away the wreckage of your past, give what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me discern my path.